Hi, we're at the Beeple event. Let's go. So we're at Beeple Studios in Charleston, South Carolina. And look at all this amazing art. Inspiring. It's interesting. It's another in word. And I'm going to take you through the Beeple Deathmatch. Basically, the way the deathmatch works is it's a competition of 5 rounds with a final round at the end of it. You're going to see all the results at some point on the internet, linked in the description down below. But the tools being used are Cinema 4D with Redshift or Octane as the render engine, Photoshop, and Blender. Obviously, there's a ton of different 3D tools, and I think one of the things that's very interesting about being an artist versus being a technician is that you have to balance both of them, especially in the 3D world. You have to know what a polygon normal is, and you have to know edge loops and sculpting tools and also the art stuff. And how do you balance all of that? Honestly, it's really hard. But I think there's something to be said about just being an artist sometimes.
I am going to do a better render than you.
How about you? Are you going to do a better render?
I came here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and we're all out of gum.
Yeah.
What's up?
How'd it go?
Oh, man. That 15 minutes when you're watching other people do it seems like it's forever. But once you're in the trenches, man, it's going by fast. But, yeah, I tried to model a pug from scratch, so that was fun. And, you know, have it in the theme of the metaverse. And it was a pug wearing a VR headset flying up another big pug's butt. So that's my version of the metaverse.
I suppose it's worth sharing why I'm here. I am making a vlog, obviously, but I'm also filming for this big competition for my friend Dave Koss. Hi, Dave from MoGraph.com. For those of you who are curious about the entire Beeple studio, here it is. This is the place where all the magic is happening. So that's better. So over here is the main table, and while they don't have the laptops set up currently, there's going to be 8 laptops. Well, there's 6 laptops right now. We need 2 more because there's going to be 8 contestants earlier in the day. Now, for the finals, it might be less, and I'm filming this vlog after the finals because I'm also on the film and duty stuff. So all the competition is happening here, and for those of you who are at home, you could have still participated by going on Twitter and voting there. Obviously, the competition is over, but this is where all the competition stuff is happening. Now, behind all of the big competition laptop station is places where people can hang out and do the fun stuff. But I think what's really cool is that the viewing of everything, some of it's going to be on the big TVs over here. But if you look at these screens behind me, if we go over to the laptop right here, the laptop that is right there, that screen is also going to be shown on these surfaces here, which look very nice. So it enables the spectators to just like do a peek sort of thing. So a very unique way of showing off competition things. So it's the final round, or it's the first round of the final rounds, the first semi-final, I guess. And we got some Scott Unras, some Cons, some Luis Mirandas, some Raid Zeros. We got some cool peeps up here. And I find it very interesting that never ever do I ever see, a lot of evers, a sort of art competition. As someone who has stepped on the powerlifting platform at least once, I see that art and powerlifting are kind of the same because to an extent you're almost competing with yourself, or you are competing with yourself in powerlifting. Sure, powerlifting is very much a competitive sport, but you're also competing with yourself in the same way that art has the same level of, like, you have to spend time every day training, practicing, and then you do a competition, except art has never had a competition like this. So let's go see how they do.
My mouth is dry, my palms are sweaty. This is stressful, man. If I win or don't, it was a good time. If I don't qualify, that means I get to view it from the outside and not be stressed out anymore. That'll be awesome.
How are you feeling, genuinely?
I don't know, I went digging into the content browser and I managed to find a Griebel texture. We were all like talking about it before that we couldn't find a Griebel texture, so went digging in the outliner and I was like, let's try and find one.
Scott, I have a question for you. Are you hungry?
No, it's just my concept was that AI art is hamburgers. It's fast food. And that was my flocking of people to fast food.
Love it. Well done.
good call.
Thank you.
I don't know. I kind of wish I was competing. I feel like I could kick some of these kids' ass.
What would you do?
Make good renders.
Ooh, Jimmy, how did it go?
It went well. I did exactly what I wanted to do. This is it. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What was going through your head?
Huh?
What was going through your head with that?
AI.
This is probably not the best spot to vlog because I'm right next to the speaker, but we have some very cool people who are up on the stage. It is a Cons. It is a David Millar and a Maria. I don't know the last person. I'm very sorry. We should meet sometime.
And battling for the belt, for the trophy, is Joshua Brocken. Give it up for Joshua.
So one of the biggest challenges about filming for something officially, and then also trying to vlog it as well just for fun, is that you have to pick one and be good at it. And obviously I chose the former, which is why we are home. But I really do hope you enjoyed this Beeple Digital Art Deathmatch vlog, sort of a recap of what the event was. And I think it was a very unique format that I think should be carried on to the future. The 15-minute intro render to get qualified for the final rounds is very fast and very short and requires people to be very technically savvy and also artistically inclined. The reason why I made this vlog is that dichotomy of being a technician and also artistic. To be a modern artist, you have to have both in some capacity. But the most important thing at the end of the day is to be an artist. And I think the hardest part about that is it's very easy to practice the technical skills because it is quantifiable and be like, I know these buttons, I know these tick boxes. But you know an artwork when you see it because it makes you feel something. And I think that artistic expression only comes when you practice more. And I think practicing is a good thing that we all should do more of. Hence why I kind of made this vlog, so I could practice and work on storytelling and vlogging and just learning about the camera stuff. Congratulations to Josh Brockett, I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name, for winning the Beeple Deathmatch competition. It is super impressive, and I think all the artists who were there definitely deserve some congratulations because it is incredibly intimidating and scary to try and step up on a platform where a lot of people are watching and be posted on Twitter and have all of your artwork shared with the world based on something that you made in 15 minutes. That is super impressive. So to all the artists who were there, very good job. And to all the artists who are watching this video, if you made it to this point of the video, thank you very much for watching, and I hope to encourage you to go practice something, go post something, go do something that expresses yourself and makes you have the warm and fuzzies inside so then you can share it with your friends and make stuff. And you should do that more, which is something I'm trying to do as I go forward and learn both about the technical art of filmmaking, but also the expression and storytelling of being an artist. So, all that being said, good job, Beeps. You did an amazing, good job, people. You did an amazing event. I think it was thoroughly well done, and I hope to see more of the digital art death matches so we can help lift each other up and give artists something to look forward to and practice more for creating art. All right, I will leave it there. If you enjoyed this video, let me know in the comment section down below. If you have questions, comments, concerns, whatever else, comment section is down there for that as well. And I will leave you with the final tip, and that is to eat 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight, and you'll make some. Goodbye, my friends. We'll be right back.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another MoGraph MoCast. I'm Dave.
And I'm Matt. Joining us today is the winner of the Digital Art Deathmatch, Mr. Josh Brockett.
Hello, hello.
We got a good show for you today. One of the reasons we're able to bring you this content is because of our sponsor, Otoy. They're the makers of Octane Render and the Render Network, of course. A good friend of ours, Jules, runs the show over there. You know who they are. You render with them. You saw them at the event. With Octane Render and the Render Network, you can make beautiful renders and you can render them quickly. Just go to otoy.com and make sure that you thank them for helping to make our show possible and making other events like Camp MoGraph and like the Digital Art Deathmatch. Possible.
Yeah.
We really appreciate that. We got a little bit of catching up to do real quick, so we're going to run straight to some headlines. Might have wondered where we were for a little bit. it's been a little weird, to say the least.
It's been.
So we had a lot of reasons that we did not have a show the last few weeks. First of all, we went to the Digital Art Deathmatch, so we were at that, so we did not have a show that week. And then we were going to come back, and we were thinking about doing a show, but we were like coming back literally on a Monday, so we're like, okay, maybe we won't do a show on that Monday. So we didn't do a show. And then Mother's Day was after that, and something happened to me. We'll talk about that in a second. And then we rescheduled with Josh, and then I realized that next week Matt was out of town.
I was on vacation, yeah.
And it was also a holiday as well. So I was like, all right, we'll reschedule again. So it's been basically like...
It's been
1 month since we did a show, so we are playing a little catch-up. So I'll show this video, first of all, what happened on Mother's Day. So NAB, you always get the cruds, right? I got the cruds. I was feeling better, but then it turned into a sinus infection. Sinus infection got really, really bad, and I was just like, this is really bad, and I went to the doctor because I was about to go to the Digital Art Deathmatch, and I got on some meds, felt better at the Digital Art Deathmatch, came home from that, not feeling well again, got on some more meds, going back to the doctor like three times, and was like, this hurts really bad. And, you know, they don't give you pain meds anymore. They don't give a crap. Everybody's ruined it for everybody. So it's like, you know, pop a couple Tylenol, you'll be fine. And so that's what they did. And like many times when I've tried to tell my doctors in the past that I had something really weird and bad and painful going on, they ignored it and told me to take Tylenol. So on Mother's Day,
the American healthcare system.
Right, exactly. Yeah, use this nasal spray and take a Tylenol. It's like, what do you think I've been doing the last month? So I had some really bad sinus pressure. I had some ocular migraines from it, which I've had ocular migraines in the past, and if you've had one and you get one for the first time, it's really scary because your vision gets weird, you see squiggly lines, you think you're having a stroke, okay, all of that, right? So it's Mother's Day, and I'm sitting down, I'm writing a message on Slack, and I hit send, and part of my vision freezes, like a little circle of what I had written on my phone froze. And I'm like, this is like a digital glitch. This is like not real life. This is not real life. And I get up and I'm like, why do I see a still frame? It just doesn't, I don't get it. Your brain's not digital. I don't understand how it's frozen. I could understand if you saw something weird or whatever, but it's frozen. Who hit pause? So I'm walking into the kitchen. I'm like, this isn't right. This is weird. It's starting to get fuzzy like an ocular migraine does. First I'm thinking, is this an ocular migraine? You know, like, supersized? What is going on? And then it gets weird. And then I start getting really dizzy. and it all kind of fades out after that. Apparently, after that, I was like, okay, I'm going to get my ice pack, because I had been using an ice pack a lot because my head hurt so bad. And I don't remember that part. Apparently, I was going to go get it, and I look up to the ceiling, and I'm like screaming and yelling as if something is attacking me. I don't remember any of this at this point. Like, it faded out after I went into the other room. And after I thought something was attacking me, I fell on the floor. I started convulsing. I bashed my head on the side of the rail. I bit the side of my tongue and the tip of my tongue, which took weeks before I could even feel my tongue anymore. I still have a little weirdness with it. And I was convulsing. I was bleeding and foaming at the mouth. And it was super scary. And then paramedics came. They tried to get me on the stretcher. I was like, why do I need to get on the stretcher? You know, didn't know what was going on. Don't remember any of that until I was in the ambulance. I'm in the ambulance, and I'm starting to come to. And I have no idea what happened. I'm just, like, in the ambulance. And they take me to the hospital. They do some scans. They realize I had a subarachnoid hemorrhage, which they could see on a CT scan, but they needed to investigate more. It took me 2 days to even get into a room, and at that point, before that, they transferred me because they saw the subarachnoid hemorrhage. It's like a brain thing. They're like, we need to transfer you to a hospital that has brain surgeons. I'm like, okay, that sounds fun. Jeez. Get there, they're looking at it, they look at an MRI, and because we're trying to figure out, well, why did I have a seizure? Because I had a seizure from the hemorrhage, you know, convulsing. I was so sore. Like, what it does to your body is crazy. Like, every muscle in my body felt like I had had, like, a workout. And so they do a bunch of MRIs. You know, I'm feeling weird. I'm anxious. All this stuff's going through my head. I'm having to sit inside of one of those MRI machines for almost an hour.
They won't give you any pain meds or anything, right?
They didn't give me any pain meds. They did give me anti-anxiety stuff when I asked for it.
Oh, that's good.
Because that's good. My biggest anxiety is having, like, medical stuff. That it freaks me out, right? So when they tell me, your brain is bleeding, you know. So on the MRI, they saw that I had a clot in my head. So now the problem is I have a clot, which needs medicine to thin the blood, but I have a hemorrhage, which means I'm bleeding in my brain. So giving me that medicine could make it worse. Luckily, the CTs had already shown at this point that it was going, it wasn't getting worse, that it was going away. So apparently, clot in my brain, it's very rare. It's only like, I think, 5 in a million people who get this.
Jeez.
It's a clot that happens on the brain, on the blood outflow of your brain. So luckily, that's what it was, because if it's on the inflow of your brain, you're losing oxygen to your brain. My problem was that it was just causing pressure trying to get out of my brain, and so that pressure was so bad that it busted a blood vessel in my brain, which caused the bleed, which then caused the seizure. So it's a long process. I've got to inject myself twice a day with a needle and take anti-seizure meds. I'm not allowed to drive for 3 months. You know,
it's
a whole thing. We got to do more MRIs to make sure. Luckily, I didn't have to have brain surgery. They said that it was more of a risk to have the brain surgery than to, you know. But I think the infection ultimately caused it. It was just so bad. And I just kept telling them, I'm like, I'm on all these antibiotics and steroids and it keeps coming back. This is really bad.
Yeah.
I'll just take some Tylenol. So I'll show you a video of what it looks like here. It's got the obligatory, you know, scary TikTok music. This is what it looked like. It literally looked like that.
That part to me is so crazy.
It's
so crazy to me that, like, dude, I'm telling you, if that had happened to me, I would have been like, all right, this is all simulation, I'm done.
I know. I was like, this isn't right. This isn't right.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine seeing that. And the craziest part was when it started blinking. It started blinking on and off.
Jeez.
And I'm like, how is this real?
That is crazy. It's like, what goes on in your brain for that, you know, for that to actually happen?
So that's where hit my head, blood on the boxes there, paramedics. I don't remember any of this. I'm sitting there. That's right there is where when I regained memory, getting in the...
Jeez.
Yeah.
Then you got the TikTok noise.
Anyway.
That's crazy, dude. I'm glad you're okay. I really am. Yeah, I was worried about you.
Because
I saw you before, you know, and I was like, dude, like, you're sick.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really hoping you're okay.
Yeah, I was just getting by with whatever I could. I mean, I think we had a meeting with Winkleman a couple days before, and I dragged myself to that meeting, and you're like, oh, you look like crap, dude. I'm like, I know. And after that, I wasn't working at all. Like, I was just like, I can't. I was just laying in bed. I was getting weird headaches, too.
Yeah.
Weird, hard
those
to describe.
Ocular migraines are weird. I've only had one in my life, and, like, it was bad.
And the headaches were just unexplainable, and they would happen more at night. It has to do with the blood in your brain when you sleep, you know? Mm-hmm. And it took a while for those to go away, and I was in the hospital for a week. And the problem is, it's like you're good to go home. The problem is your blood levels of how thin. They were too thin, and they had to go down. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, we're going to have to test again, but you got to wait 2 days. And then if it's not good after 2 days, you got to wait another 2 days. So I was just bored out of my mind watching TikTok.
Sure.
You know, just like watching like 18 hours of TikTok a day.
Jeez.
You know, luckily I had my lazy ring with me.
Yeah.
I love my lazy ring.
That's funny.
So I came back, though, and it's weird. It's, you know, I'm slowly getting back into it. So if you wonder where we were, that was kind of the deal. It's like I had to kind of remember how to do everything again for the show. It's been so long. Luckily, I don't feel like I had any other problems brain-wise, except, you know, I'm on a lot of medication that causes me to be a little foggy at times.
Yeah, that sucks. That really sucks.
That kind of sucks. But it's fine. I'm been enjoying taking it slower. You know? I've been playing a lot of Prop Hunter, and I've been streaming it. I had just posted a couple game clips right before the incident happened or whatever, and I don't know. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I've been putting it on my TikTok. So if anybody wants to check that out, I do stream on Twitch and on TikTok. Not every night, but almost every night now. I hop on around 8 p.m. Central-ish. It's very loose. It's not like doing this show.
What's your username?
So on Twitch, I'm Zeta Renders. On TikTok, I'm Zeta Renders. On Instagram, I'm just using my existing account. I didn't want to make a separate account for it.
MoGraph Dave.
MoGraph Dave. Yeah. And I'll show you a couple examples. We've had some friends hop on, which has been fun. The TikToks get more views. The TikToks get more views, and the TikToks are longer because they allow you to show the whole thing. So I kind of have to cut down some of the tension out of these and just cut the parts where I'm waiting. Maybe that's for the better. I'll show you two real quick. We were on the other night with Cameron and John Haley, and here is one where I was a soda machine. Check this out.
Do I dare just... Oh, hey, yeah, hide inside of me. Get inside of me, John Haley. If anyone shoots at me, I am changing. So you're going to have to get out of me really quick.
Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Nope. Stay inside of me, John Haley. John Haley, it's going to be you, because they're going to take me out. You're going to have to run. You're going to have to run. Here we go. Here we go. No!
Okay, so there's two ways you can play the game. One of the ways is by hiding as a prop. You're a prop from the game and hoping they don't see you. Another way is to play chicken, which I got a bunch of them in here. Some of them are very long bouts of playing chicken. I call them chicken run. Here's one more quick one. You can see what it's like to play chicken.
Oh, he saw me.
I love the music.
They're gonna get me. They're gonna get me.
Anyway, if you're a 3D artist, this is a fun game. And I don't know what it is about being a 3D artist that makes it fun. I guess it's because you're using props. It's like you're using models, you know, and you've got to get it just right. And you can do things like jump and hang on things, you know, and try and like do duplicates of yourself as decoys so you look like something else, you know, so you don't look like maybe a chair. Maybe you look like part of a gun turret or something, you know. And so I encourage anybody to try it who thinks they might be into it. You don't have to be good at shooter games to do this. You have to know how to use the controller, but that's about it. And I think that's why it's fun, because a lot of it's chance. So it this is Cold War. This is Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War from 2020. This is the last one that had Prop Hunter. And there's a rumor the new one was going to have Prop Hunter. I hope so. But if you want to play with us, we have a game hangout channel now on our Discord for the evenings, and we've had up to 6 or 7 people playing with us at once already. So the thing is, it takes a while to install, but once you get it installed, the game is still, but it's like every other game, it's, you know, $60. But anyway, one other headline. Let's go to headline number 2. Let's talk about camp real quick before.
Yeah, Camp MoGraph. So, as we do each week, Camp MoGraph updates. Super excited about. First up is Camp MoGraph US. I don't know if there's anything new. We've been slowly working on stuff in the background, but we do want to give a big shout out to our sponsors, of course, for Camp MoGraph US: Otoy, Maxon, Sony, Grayscale Gorilla, Motion Hatch, and Stash Magazine. Super excited about Camp US. What's some of the any fun stuff that we've got? We've been working on some of the food trucks. We're excited about the food trucks coming. We've got so many more like teachers this year. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really
a lot
really
of it.
Excited.
You're not going to hear much about until Australia is done, because we got to get Australia.
Yeah,
done
Australia. And, yeah, Australia is happening in 3 weeks, which is so incredibly exciting. So we've been hard at work on Camp Australia, and that's where a lot of our focus has been. We're super excited. Dave, if you want to switch to the Camp Australia one, yes, awesome. So that's going to be in a few weeks. If there's anyone in Australia, you know, still looking for tickets or anything like that, there may be some people who have some. Anyway, just hit us up, whatever. So huge shout out to all of our sponsors. We're so looking forward to this. We've got Otoy, Maxon, Plug-in Everything, Smoosh Workstations, Stash Magazines, Hello Lux, and actually we've got RevThink as well on our thing. It's not on the podcast one because we've updated it just a couple days ago, and I don't think
happened. Yeah.
But yeah, super excited about Camp Australia. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've been looking at. I think Julie's been looking at these like portable like bars. I'm really excited about it. It's like I want to do this for all the other camps, where it's basically it's like a giant kegerator or a multi kegerator on a
on wheels
on a trailer
or something.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. Anyway, so this camp is gonna be great. And we're super excited to see you there. I know Tim from Hello Lux is coming, which is going to be great.
Ever hung out with Tim,
yeah,
get ready. Get ready to party.
Yeah. And if you're going to be in the Brisbane area beforehand, like me and EJ, we get in on, we leave the 21st and we get on the 23rd at like 5 a.m.
Yeah.
So we're going to be doing some camp stuff. But if you're in the area, if you're a motion designer, hit us up. We'd love to hang out while we're there, you know. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And look forward to camp. It's going to be great. Yep.
Josh, let's talk about you now. Enough about us.
Yes.
All right.
We're going to start from the beginning, kind of. We only got 30 minutes, but we'll do the fast version of it here. Thanks for waiting that out. We had a lot of catching up to do week. First of all, tell us how you even heard about this event, because we hadn't really met before. A lot of our friends heard about it because we were like, hey, you want to come to this event? But where did you hear about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've been following Beeple for a really long time, so I just kind of saw his posts about it on social media and was like, I'd seen a couple of the Beeple events go by that I don't think they were as open to the public. There was no like submissions, or there might have been a couple, but I missed them. And so this one, I was like, it was just the perfect opportunity. I thought I'm a huge fan of Beeple. He's what inspired me to get into art, and to be able to go and like just compete at this event. I mean, I had no idea what to expect from it, but I just saw his post online and was like, let me just submit something.
And you've been, have you been doing dailies, right?
Yeah, I've been doing dailies for like 5 years now. So started in like December of 2018. So there's quite a bit.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's really good work. I started following you immediately after, and I've enjoyed seeing what you've been posting.
Thank you. With the Polaroid.
Yeah, that's a great photo someone got,
That's great. So, yeah, you came in. We had talked about this earlier before the event. We're like, is this going to be something where somebody we know wins because we got a lot of friends here, or is there going to be a sleeper?
Yeah.
You know,
I was really happy that it wasn't one of our friends, because, you know, I felt like it was going to be like, you know, we're just pumping it full of ringers and stuff like that, you know. But I was really glad it was someone from the outside of our friend group who came in and won.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of, I mean, so many great people I got to meet. I met all the artists that were in that video that you showed, and just artists that I've been following for a long time, like EJ, David Ariev, or Ariev, Dan Geese, so many artists that I knew that I've been following for years and that I just never got the chance to talk to. And so it was just such a great time meeting them and meeting all the new people that I got to meet was just amazing. And everyone was so, so nice and welcoming. And yeah, it was amazing.
That's the thing about MoGraphers. They're all nice.
Yep.
You're in the friend group now. You're in the circle, you know. As soon as you meet everybody, you're automatically in the circle. So
yep.
That's how that's
it was
how
funny. It like I think you were directly to my right your first round, right?
I think
Yeah. And so as everyone's working, like, you know, they had 15 minutes, and I think within like 5 minutes, you basically were done.
Yeah.
With your first render, and you spent the next like 10 minutes just like fine tuning it. And I'm watching everyone else, and I'm like, man, this guy's got him. Everyone beat, you know? And so like, that was the one thing like that I really, I think put you over the top of everyone else, is that you immediately had a good composition, you know, and were able to spend a good majority of your time just fine tuning from there, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think definitely the biggest advantage I had was also just being a daily artist. So like I'm very used to creating pieces in, you know, an hour most of the time, like an hour, hour and a half. But I've also made things in 30 minutes just on my own plenty of times. And so that was like a huge advantage, and definitely like having every idea I had a composition. Even though some of the like final rounds, most of the final rounds, I didn't even know what I was going to do probably until like a minute before I started.
Yeah.
And so it was a little rough there, but it was mostly pretty much everything I did was just like every days that I had done before. And so it was like, once I knew kind of the general idea, I just had to find a way to fit it within the assets and the time frame, and and definitely polishing all those pieces up, I think was kind of helped a lot, because there was like a lot of people had some really good concepts and stuff, but I think just having that polish, especially because it's all on Twitter being voted on, just people see it in like a second. Like, I think it really
stood
out.
That was a big thing with the Twitter polls. It's like, for example, Gustav's, I thought was going to win the first round, but as soon as you post it on Twitter, it's like you lose so much of like the beauty of it, you know, because it's so much smaller and so much more compressed, which, you know, so, and that's kind of what something that I was letting people know as we were going on, you know, like, David Malore, at one point he had like his character really far away, and I was like, keep in mind it's going to be on Twitter, people are going to, you know, you don't want something too small or something, you know. And that was something that we did not anticipate going in there, was the Twitter polls and stuff like that.
A lot of people would see the Twitter polls and they'd be like, what is this? I don't understand this. It's like, you realize this was created in 15 minutes, right? Like, calm down.
We a couple of us artists went out to lunch, or I went out with a few other artists that were also kind of going into the next rounds after the first round. And the Twitter thing was something we all talked about. It just being like, you really got to make sure it stands out in that tiny little box, because if anything gets lost, people aren't going to see it.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're talking about already the possibility of making this an annual event. I think I think it's definitely in order. Make some changes.
Then we got to have you come back and, like, you know, as like the surprise. It's like, it's like the
puff of smoke wrestling.
At the end of like Adventures of Link, like Legend of Zelda 2, where you've got to fight the NECA version of yourself, you know.
That's the thing.
I think the annual, it being an annual event, would be awesome. Like, I know everybody, every artist I talk to, and I'm sure you guys feel the same, is it was like one of the best events they've been to. I haven't been to many events, so like this is like the first one, so it was kind of a high bar to set it at, but it was, I know everyone else was saying how just incredible it was, and just being there myself, like being able to work and like make art in front of the audience and like get that like real time feedback, and like it was just insane. Like, it was amazing.
I think what they should have done at the end is just, instead of giving you a check, they say, sorry, the princess is in another castle, and then you gotta wait till next year.
There you go. That's funny.
I think that'll be
so
fun.
One thing that I thought was funny, so we're down to you and David, you know, at the end. And I went up to y'all, because what's funny is neither you or David, I think, even knew that there was prize money at the end. We never even mentioned it, right?
That's funny.
And I was like, hey, probably dude, you at least won something, you know? Even if you don't win first place, you win something. And like, both you and David were like, wait, what? Because the second place won $2,500 and first place was $5,000. And it's like, oh man, that basically paid for the trip right there.
When you told me that, I was very excited. Because I didn't even know there was going to be a prize. Like, I mean, I figured there'd be something, but I didn't know there was. I didn't know what it was until like the day of the event when I started seeing posts about it. Belt and a trophy. So, and even with the actual event itself, like, I was really not, you know, expecting much. I thought we were going to be like put in like a computer lab and just like shoved away for like 15 minutes. Like, that's what I thought I was expecting. And so coming in, like seeing how everything was set up and just the like detail that was put into it, everything, it was just insane. Yeah.
It was a pretty killer setup. Like, I got to give props to Mike and all of his team, because it was so much cooler than I had anticipated, you know, and especially with the screens, like mirroring the screens like on the left and right, to where everyone standing around, you know, could see what was going on each and every screen. It was really, really great.
They don't have to like look fully over your shoulder. They're over your shoulder, yeah, but they're not like right all up in your grill. And
yeah,
it was nice to see that. And then the way everything was kind of color coded, you know, those Puget systems, by the way, oh man, those Puget systems were killer. And so I think it was Rev. He color coded even the keyboards for each system.
He color coded the keyboard based on,
You know, I wish we could have been more involved with some of the stuff there on site. We really wanted to be more involved with helping to get that prepped. I know they were under the wire, but it was just like crunch time. And for us, it was like, well, we can't do anything from here. We, you know, so I think we'll probably go there early to help with some of that stuff, so it's not so much, you know, a load on their shoulders. And there's a lot of other things, you know, there's resolution things with the screens and stuff. There's all these little things that I know Winkelmann wants to make better and easier. Everybody's talking about streaming.
I would have loved to live stream the thing, but like, it's so, like, honestly, they've got a whole team of people already there working on this stuff. It's like adding the live streaming is a whole another level beast as well.
And that's why we're like, if we can make it happen, it would be nice to do something where maybe we just bring in my friend's production truck to do the live stream, because then we don't have to worry about doing it ourselves. It's one thing, everybody's like, oh well, you guys stream online all the time. It's like, right, but there's eight computers, and we got to worry about throughput, and then you've got an MC running around, and you're going to have remote cameras with Teradex or something, because you can't put cables all over the place. Like, there's all of this stuff that I know. It's like, it's not that I can't do this. It's like, I don't want to do this. I want to enjoy myself, right? You know? I was already not certain about being a ref, because I'm like, well, I can't stand around and drink or whatever, you know, like although I did drink. Everybody's like, well, you're the ref and you can ref and drink at the same time. I'm like, yeah, of course. I'm sitting there like helping with some technical issues and Octane and stuff and beer in the other hand, you know. Unfortunately, I can't do that for a while now. So, but I think that worked really well. It was uncertain. It's like, oh, y'all are going to wear refs uniforms with a whistle. It's like, it's going to be corny. But it actually was great, because when have people with the stripes on, it's kind of like the attendees, which not everybody there was an artist. There were a lot of art people and crypto people and other stuff hanging around. It's like, okay, this person's a fish, right? Like, not a fish, but official. I was trying to be trendy.
Yeah.
This person is official. You got to step away from... If they're trying to do something, you got to get out of the way. So it was kind of nice because you could swipe in and help with a technical issue. You could watch and make sure nobody's cheating, you know, whatever. Because we did not know everybody, and there was some, you know, chance that someone was going to try and load a thumb drive or do something, you know, go on the internet and do AI or something. It's like, nope. So we were watching, and it was pretty good. I mean, we would blow our whistle at the timeout. We would tell everybody how much time was left. You and I would yell 420 every time.
Yeah, every time.
It was at 420. and the belts, for those who are listening, most people listen to the show. They don't watch this, so they didn't see what was in the video. There was a belt. Like a wrestling championship.
You got the belt, right?
I do. Give me one second.
So
this belt had all sorts of phrases and stuff on it. You know how Winkelmann does. He's like, "F you, I'm better than you." I forget what else. It's, y'all are losers. You know, all that kind of stuff. You know, that's right on brand for Winkelmann, right? And so the belt is in a case. And it's got lights on it, and there's also my cups and everything else.
No, it's all good.
You know, so there it is. Oh, it's upside down.
It's upside down. Yeah, there you go. I thought it was the camera.
There you go. Yeah. What
Extreme
does it say?
Lord Champion.
Eat my ass. I'm better than you. And then what does the other side say?
Oh, man.
What does the other side say on the left, that very left one there? I forget what this is on the...
I think it's eat my ass still.
Both sides.
F you, I'm awesome.
And then the bottom is awesome. Says, oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
Nice. But yeah.
Did you wear it on the plane?
I drove there.
Oh, that's nice. Right.
So it was like a 13-hour drive. So it was.
Where are you located?
I'm from Michigan, like right near Detroit, Michigan. So
D-town?
There's a huge like MoGrap scene in Detroit.
You know, I've heard that, but I haven't ever. I don't know about it.
Billy
but,
Chitkin got to hit up Billy Chitkin for one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know Nick Campbell from Freescale Gorilla. He was telling me a little bit about it too. But yeah, I need to find out who's involved in that.
MoGrap Monday crew, right?
Yeah.
Who else? Yeah, Box Fort.
Yeah.
That's the one I heard about. Yeah, Box Fort.
That's where Nick is now. So, not in Detroit proper, but that's where I was born too. So,
it's a
good area. Good area. And so tell us what happened like right after. Did you get like a lot of crypto people just all of a sudden hitting you up? Like you want to do a collab?
I did have a lot of crypto people hit me up. I'm very grateful and supportive because they've been so supportive. I had a couple NFTs that I had put up like years ago. When
on Foundation, right?
On Foundation and one on First Dibs, which is like an auction house type of thing. But I put them up years ago, like almost 2 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
And it was also when crypto was like a lot lower.
Right.
Ethereum. Yeah. And so they weren't, you know, I didn't price them high when I initially put them up, but they sold for a decent amount. I sold the two on Foundation for like $1,000 or something. And then the big sale was on First Dibs, where I sold the piece for $8,000 for like two and a half.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It was absolutely insane to see that kind of support. I'm still blown away by it. It was just crazy.
Man. That's you know, it's interesting to hear that because it's like there is still a market, you know?
Yeah.
It's still out there. It's just not the crazy town that it was 2 years ago, which is
it's
normalizing.
And that's the way I think the NFT market should be. It's like like treat it more like the fine art market where, you know, you've got the influential and the ones who are, you know, who stick to it, you know, and stuff. And
ones who are serious
instead of
about
everyone
it.
Just
And not the people posting, you know, something they made in Microsoft Paint, you know, or something and making
$1 million. That's your thing and you're continually
well if
to
that's
do
your
it,
thing
you know,
but
for, right
that's
yeah.
the thing it what that wasn't the thing it was like here's a right. 5-year-old who made something with Microsoft Paint $1 million, you know.
Yeah,
none of that.
Yeah.
So hopefully this is just normal crypto, man, and maybe this will this kind of thing will help it, you know, have the my problem is that because it was so crazy, it lost some of its validity for a while, and hopefully it gets some of its respect back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That reason, instead of just because the same thing applies to, you know, like GameStop stock and the whole thing, all the craziness
going back up. I don't know if you saw that.
Hold on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jen says, don't knock Microsoft Paint.
So, Josh, what's do you have anything planned?
Yeah.
Have you gotten any opportunities or anything because of this? Like, have any companies reached out to you and they're like, hey, you know, let's collab or something like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I have a couple things planned. Definitely a lot of people reached out to me and gave me a lot of support, which I'm extremely grateful for. But also I had Max on reached out to me.
That's awesome.
Nice.
And I'm going to butcher his name. It's either Matthias. Matthias, he reached out to me, and he wanted me to actually speak at a conference they're going to have in SIGGRAPH.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Out in Denver.
So I'm going to be going to that. I'm going to be having a whole presentation. Probably doing an everyday live.
Fun, yeah.
So that's like a huge opportunity I'm super excited for. And then just a little bit of stuff in the crypto space. Like I got another art drop on the 6th. And that's going to be on super rare, and they're supposed to
Very
be helping
cool.
me out a little bit with that. And so,
cool.
But then, yeah, just a lot of other people who I probably need to reach out and follow up on that, you know, mm-hmm. talked to me at the event, was like, hit me up if you want to work together or do anything. So, but yeah, there are definitely a lot of people like reaching out and being super supportive.
You're gonna love the event. Seagraph is really cool. Now NAB, we party. I feel like we partied a lot more in NAB, and
yeah,
there's a lot of like extra stuff to do. There's a lot of like, you know, cameras and all that other stuff. Seagraph is more of a fine tuned. You know, there's gaming and graphics cards, but there's a lot more like 3D and all of that. This mm-hmm. year, it's the mm-hmm. first year. It might at least in a long time that I know of that it's been in Denver. Because it's been going
yeah,
back between LA and Vancouver, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So
yeah,
now
and then
we're,
during
yeah.
COVID, we were supposed to do Washington, D.C., which didn't happen.
And then
happen.
It didn't happen.
Yeah.
So we'll be doing that. We'll be doing live streams at the booth and all of that stuff. There's going to be a lot of friends, a lot of people that you met at the event, you're going to see there.
Yeah.
Because there are so many artists in Colorado that they're pulling in all the Colorado people that we know for Seagraph. We'll be hanging out at night. We'll be going to dinners. We're trying to do some sort of MoGraph meetup party type thing. I think I had mentioned I really wanted to do a Casa Bonita meetup, but they're
yeah.
booked until forever. So we'll have to figure
yeah.
that out. And that's going to be a lot of fun because I think God, we know 15, 20 artists at least that live there
yeah.
by default, let alone
Jeez.
The people flying in, you know, so
yeah,
that'll be a lot
Jen
of fun.
Jen says the Colorado Motion crew is going to be planning some fun things too, so that's good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk to EJ, of course, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you another question. Okay, so crypto stuff, did it also lead to some jobs? Have you gotten any, like, work? Do you do work, or is it just all up
yeah.
art?
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying. I just got laid off from my studio job recently,
oh, no.
so this event was definitely very nice for that.
Yeah.
Got a little money to spare now. Yeah, I do a lot of – not necessarily a lot, but I have done commercial work before. I'm still interested in doing it. That's kind of the couple other people that I need to reach out to and follow up on is mm-hmm. – on that more like studio, like commercial kind of side of things. Yeah, definitely need to get on that. If anybody is watching that would like to hire me, please hire me.
Yeah, that's right. What about, you might have mentioned this at the beginning when we were talking about the dailies and stuff, but how did you get into this in the first place? Like, mm-hmm. did you go to school and...
No, yeah. I did not go to school. I kind of just, like, I got out of high school. I was too broke to go to college, so I was like, I'm just going to figure out what I want to do. But I was always interested in film and took a lot of film classes mm-hmm. and also always been interested in, like, visual effects. And so, like, mm-hmm. ever since I was a kid, I was working in, like, After Effects, just, like, watching Andrew Kramer tutorials
yeah.
and doing all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of like... The next step for me was 3D, and I got yeah. into it just from using like Element 3D, and then mm-hmm. I wanted to use the fracture, Voronoi fracture in Cinema 4D to mm-hmm. like fracture some text, and then I started looking up all these cinema tutorials, and eventually I think in like the week or two that I was looking up cinema tutorials, I stumbled on Beeple's work. And
yeah.
I was instantly like, I fell in love, and I was like, if I can do even like a tenth of what he does, like I would be so happy. And so, mm-hmm. Just kind of learned Cinema 4D, and then just started making everydays. Like I didn't have any plan on when I was gonna stop or when I was gonna, you know, whatever. I was just like, let me just start and see what happens. And it was also his attitude about art. And like
yeah.
His like philosophy of everything, like just
yeah.
not putting art on a pedestal and just like doing the work every single day, that really resonated with me. And so just started doing the everydays, and yeah, it's just been. I like to say I haven't stopped, but I have stopped before.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of another thing that I think is really important to mention is that, you know, not everyone can be like a Beeple who mm-hmm. is just every single day, never miss a day. Like mm-hmm. there are times when I've missed days. And
I was going to ask. Yeah.
There's a big break that I took recently, just dealing with like a lot of mental health issues.
Yeah.
And so, but
you're an artist. We all do it.
Mm-hmm. And so, but the biggest thing for me is just like, don't stop, you know, like I came back, I felt like terrible. I felt like a, you know, big failure or whatever. But it was just, I came back, I just wanted to keep doing everydays. And so I did. And so I've been back doing them. I don't plan on stopping again anytime soon, at least. And so, it's just been, the everydays are like a really big part of my life and something that's changed my life for like so long now. And, I can't be more grateful to Beeple or Mike himself for like kind of getting me into that. And so,
You got to take awesome, a break sometimes and don't feel bad mm-hmm. about that. And sometimes you got to slow down, you know, play some prop hunter, you know.
Yeah, right.
Take a break for a little bit and come back to it when you feel like it. There's just not, it's not going to be good if you don't like doing it, right? So you know, it just makes sense. So, and so you're available for hire, contract, right?
Yes, I am available for hire. Yes.
So everybody, you know where to go, right? So, well, we really appreciate you being on and taking the time, especially with us doing an episode where we're trying to remember how to do an episode.
Yeah.
This is episode. Yeah, no problem.
Josh, where can people find you online if they want to contact you?
Yeah. Yeah. My Instagram handle right down below, is BrocketJosh, underscore in the middle between there. And then on Twitter, it's just Joshua underscore Brocket. So just mix and match my name. Just type my name and you'll probably find me.
Cool.
And so, but that's pretty much all everywhere I post. It's just Instagram and Twitter. And sometimes I'll post on ArtStation and stuff, but not very frequently.
Cool.
And there was something else I was going to say. Which I can't remember now. Oh, I was going to mention, this is just a housekeeping thing. We are going back to noon after this show, back to our regular time, which it's good and bad. I don't like being rushed in the morning to try and get the show going. We will be back. We've got a show.
But it does cut into like the middle of our day.
it does, but it's really hard. We're trying to work that out. It was really nice having Mondays for a while, but... we're going to go back to noon, and we're going to do a headline show next week. And then I was also talking about the fact that I think if you listen to the podcast, I did kind of an audio update. So we're going to have lots of Josh's. So we're going to have Josh Pierce that following week. Then the week after that, Matt is going to be in Australia. We probably won't do a show. Yeah. So we're just kind of taking it easy for the summer. The whole concept of we have to do a show every week. We'll try and do as many shows as we can, but sometimes we might decide to take a break just for that same reason.
We've done 409 weeklies.
409. That's my lucky number.
Oh, wow.
That's
my lucky number. That's awesome.
That was my address growing up, and I always see 409 everywhere. It's even a cleaner.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, 409.
Right. So,
I got a shout out Josh Pierce, too. He's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. He didn't recognize me, though. So I have kind of a superpower. I'm like Clark Kent without my glasses.
Oh, right.
Without my hat,
I'm the same
don't
way.
Recognize me. It's so weird, right? Like,
dude, it was what's his name? Cut his hair, and I didn't recognize him at all.
Yes, I know. Oh my gosh, I was like,
Chad Knight.
He cut
his hair, and I hadn't seen him since. Like, he had this big long hair, and then he cut it off.
Yes.
And I thought I recognized him as someone, and I didn't even realize until after the event was over. I was like, I didn't even know Chad was there.
Yeah, no, he was standing there at the event. And like during one of the showdowns, and he said something to me, and I was like, what? I'm like, double take. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I didn't even recognize you. He looks completely different. Yeah, it was the same thing
with
Josh Pierce. He was, because I invited Josh Pierce to the event.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? I'm like, hey, you want to come to this thing and you want to be on the show? We had been talking, you know?
Yeah.
But when that night, when we went to the deal, I never wear my contacts. I wore my contacts to the dinner. I wasn't wearing my hat. I had my head shaved.
Yeah.
I was dressed in something other than a beanie and a sweatshirt. And he was like, hey, what's up? What's your name? And I'm sure he felt like, I mean, he did. He was like, oh my gosh, like I didn't even recognize you. But it happens to me all the time. It happened to me when we went to the original Beeple event because I was wearing a suit and no glasses and no beanie and everything else. They thought I was kitchen staff. So.
That is true. That is
true. They thought I was kitchen staff. They just let me right in. Like, no problem. Yeah. I'm Clark Kent. So, again, thank you so much. We really appreciate you taking the time, and we're going to be seeing you very soon, end of July, in Colorado.
Yes.
Everybody, make sure you come out to Seagrath and support all the artists and check us out and hang out and meet people and network and all of the things, because you never know. You never know what job you're going to get, right? So thanks again. Check us out at MoGraph.com, MoGraph.com/TV. Turn it on. Rip the knob off. You can watch motion graphics television 24/7. We're on there live right now, actually. Followed by something. I don't know. We'll see what it is. I don't know.
Make sure to sign up for MoGraph.com, your profile on MoGraph.com.
Yep.
Share your work. Get your put your portfolio up there. Follow other artists and find local meetup groups as well.
We're on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. Got the short form content. We got clips. We got everything. So check us out. Follow us all on all our personal socials as well if you want to see stupid stuff like gaming clips. You know, whatever. And we'll be there. And until next time, I'm Dave.
And I'm Matt.
And I'm Josh.
Have a good one.
Later, yo.
Pretty good, I guess. Introducing MoGraph TV from MoGraph.com, a free motion graphics and animation channel streaming your favorite content and favorite artists 24/7. MoGraph TV features motion graphics tutorials, talks, tips, inspiration, and replays of popular live shows. We offer something for all levels of designer, from introductory tutorials to high-level breakdowns and everything in between.
That track looks great to me.
MoGraph TV features software like Cinema 4D, After Effects, Unreal Engine,
What up?
Third-party plugins, and other 2D and 3D software. We also feature live motion events, short-form clips, crypto art, and even a little photo and video editing. Learn from the people that inspire you most, and stay up to date on all the latest industry news, announcements, and community events. You'll also see exclusive offers only available by watching. With 3 8-hour blocks each day, you'll be sure to catch everything, no matter what your time zone. Keep it on as a companion to your workday and learn something new. Meet a friend, watch a demo, catch a classic tutorial, or even find new inspiration.
That's a British word?
A lot of things are British words.
Yes, good luck with all your projects.
MoGraph TV, television for the design community, 24/7.